So let's talk a little bit tonight about business, but not only about business. It's really a broader discussion, which is called Divrei Kabbalah, which is why you see at the top of the sheet I wrote there Divrei Kabbalah. The reason why it's called Divrei Kabbalah is because all of these issues are based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. So most prohibitions on Shabbos are based on the Lamitas Malachos, we know. Right? We have Avos Malachos and we have Toldos, which we'll discuss as we get a little bit closer to doing the Malachos. And then, you know, you have certain things that are Midoraisa, certain things that are biblical. You have certain things that are Midirabanan, right, that are rabbinic. But it's you don't really have anything that's from the Nevi'im. And here you have a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, you have a Pasuk in the Navi, which seems to identify certain things that you can't do on Shabbos. And we learn out, Chazal learn out from this Pasuk in Yeshayahu, four topics, so to speak, four areas where a person has to be careful on Shabbos, and they're called Divrei Kabbalah. And some say they have a little bit of a strength, you know, they're a little bit more strict than regular Dirabbanans, because, you know, they learned that from a Pasuk in Navi. It's not just the Rabbanan coming up with a Gzeira or coming up with a decree. But they're actually learned from a Pasuk in Navi, so some say it's a little bit more strict about these things. You might recognize the Pasuk, especially for those of a more Hasidic type of descent or leaning. Pasuk is in source number one, Im Tashiv Mi Shabbos Raglecha. Some people have the custom to recite this Pasuk before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Im Tashiv Mi Shabbos Raglecha, Asos Chafatzecha B'Yom Kodshi. So you're doing your dealings on my holy day. The karasa la Shabbos oneg, you're supposed to call out to the Shabbos that you're my delight. Likdosh Hashem and mechubad, for the honor of Hashem, which is for the holiness of Hashem, which is honorable. And then here the last four terms are very important. Vichibarato, you should honor it, honor Shabbos. Number one. Number two. Me'asos derachecha, from doing your ways, which we'll see what that means in a second. Mimitzo cheftzecha, from finding your belongings, your things. V'daber davar, and speaking words. So four things. V'chibarato, me'asos derachecha, mimitzo chafatzecha, v'daber davar. Mimitzo cheftzecha, I'm sorry, v'daber davar. So Chazal learned in the Gemara and Shabbos, from each one of these things, a separate issue, a separate prohibition that a person has to be careful from on Shabbos. So the first one is v'chibarato. So writes the Gemara in source number two, which is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. V'chibarato me'asos derachecha, according to this pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'chibarato, you should honor it. How do you honor Shabbos? Shelo yehe malbushcha shel Shabbos, ki malbushcha shel chol. That your dress on Shabbos should not be like your dress during the week. This is the source for Shabbos clothing. And writes the Shulchan Aruch in source number three, Yishtadel sheyihiyu lo begadim na'im l'Shabbos. A person should try to have nice clothes for Shabbos. Now it's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch says you should try, right? I mean, Baruch Hashem. Nowadays we live in an age of relative affluence where it's not such a, you know, it's not really a problem to ensure that we have nice clothes for Shabbos. But at one point in history, you know, different points in history, it was sometimes it was challenging to find the nice clothes for Shabbos or to afford nice clothes for Shabbos. You know, people used to have the same clothes. They would wear the same clothes every day. You know, whether it was Shabbos or weekday, they couldn't really afford much. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtadel, as much as you can, whatever you can afford, you try to have nice clothes for Shabbos. Writes the Mishnah Berura, that how far does this go? You know, what do I have to change? Right? How far does this go? My pants, my shirt, my shoes. I mean, what has to be changed for Shabbos? So writes the Mishnah Berurah, V'tov, it's good. Shelo yilbash b'Shabbos, mikoma shelavash b'chol, afilu chaluk. Even your undershirt. You should have special Shabbos undershirts. Now, I'm not sure of anyone who actually does this, but, you know, literally, he says everything should be changed for Shabbos. You know, that's the true honor of Shabbos is that you have everything is different for Shabbos. V'im efshelo, Tosh yelo gam talis acher the Shabbos. So this many people do, right? This many people not everyone, but many Jewish people have this custom to have a separate talis for Shabbos. You have your Shabbos talis. Some people like to have a special atara on their Shabbos talis. You know, okay, whatever the case might be, it's a nice thing to have a Shabbos talis. But the Shabbos talis is really just an outgrowth of But the rest of my clothing, that should be different for Shabbos. So I remember that, in Israel, many people are learning these halachos for the first time. Everybody goes out, they buy a special Shabbos yarmulke, and they buy a special Shabbos tzitzis, and you have your Shabbos this, and your Shabbos that. And it's beautiful. The more you do for Shabbos, the better. So most of us, I think we change our clothing, we change our shoes, usually have a nice pair of shoes for Shabbos. Okay, so maybe some people wear the same belt, I imagine undergarments, most of us wear the same undergarments that we wear during the week, wear the same pair of tzitzis, or whatever the case, same yarmulke. But, you change them, Erev Shabbos, to fresh ones, but it's the same ones that you wear interchangeably during the week. But honestly, the more we change for Shabbos, the better. If a person has a Shabbos yarmulke, again, I don't think that's our minhag nowadays. Most people don't, aren't careful to have a special Shabbos yarmulke or a special Shabbos tzitzis or, belt or things like that. Some people even wear the same shoes, for Shabbos and weekday. It's not the end of the world. But the more you change for Shabbos, the better. The more you change for Shabbos, the better. That's the general rule. Now let's say a person is home alone for Shabbos. Or let's say you're on a business trip and you're by yourself and you're staying the whole Shabbos. I'm staying in my hotel room. Do I have to get dressed for Shabbos? Or a person's, sometimes you have a woman who's home with her kids. She's not really going out much on Shabbos. My wife, she doesn't get out, especially in the winter with the little kids. It's hard to get out on Shabbos. So do you have to get dressed up for Shabbos? I just want to wear my regular clothes in my house. Do I have to get dressed up? So says the Mishnah Berura, you should, you still should. In source number 5, Na'im kefi yocholto, obviously, as nice as you can afford. Va'afilimu baderech levado. Right? You're home, you're on the road by yourself, you're on a business trip, you're by yourself in the hotel room the whole Shabbos. Ubabeis eino Yehudi, let's say you're even in a non-Jew's house for Shabbos or something like that. You're totally by yourself, there's no Jews around. This is not a halacha about other Jews and the way that they see you. It has nothing to do with that. This is a halacha about you honoring Shabbos. That's it. Gamkin yilbosh big day Shabbos. So you should also wear big day Shabbos, right? Even if a person's alone, you're alone on a business trip, you're alone in a hotel, and this happens sometimes. People are alone, by themselves for Shabbos. You should get dressed up for Shabbos, right? You're alone for Shabbos, you get dressed up for Shabbos. Ki eina malbushim lichavod haroim. Very important line in the Mishnah Berurah. The nice clothing has nothing to do with the people seeing you. You're not dressing up for the people. You're not dressing up for the people in shul. You're dressing up for Shabbos. You're dressing up to honor the Shabbos. Ki im lichavod haShabbos. So it's a very important thing. Many women actually have, even if they stay home and they wear a robe for Shabbos, they have a special nice Shabbos robe. There's a whole industry of these nice Shabbos robes, and it's a beautiful thing. Even if you're home for Shabbos and let's say, you're not going to dress up, wear a nice dress, you're not going out of the house, but at least you should wear something a little bit nicer for Shabbos. So whether it's a Shabbos robe or whatever the case might be, wear something a little nicer for Shabbos.
Could a man do that?
A Shabbos robe?
But if I said, okay, I have, a pair of pants I don't usually wear, I'm only going to make these Shabbos.
These are my Shabbos lounging at home pants.
Right.
Yeah, theoretically, yes. It should be a little nicer than you wear during the week. The nice thing about these ladies' Shabbos robes is that usually they are a little bit nicer during the week. Some people even walk around in them outside. They're nice. They're not just, it's not just like a nice, it's not just a terry bathrobe. No, it's a nice robe for Shabbos. So if you just have a pair of like Dockers that you write Shabbos on the tag and the inside, that doesn't really cut it. But if you have a pair of nice pants, let's say a little bit nicer than you wear during the week. So even maybe it's not like my suit pants. I want to change it to something a little bit more comfortable when I'm at home. But still, they should be a little bit nicer during the week. Obviously, when you sleep, by the way, right? When you're going to sleep, you don't have to wear a suit when you go to sleep, right? Even the rabbi doesn't wear a suit when he sleeps. But you wear your regular pajamas. If you want to have Shabbos pajamas, that's also nice. It's a nice chumrah if you want to have Shabbos pajamas. I don't think that that's necessary to have that. But you're talking about you're sitting at home. You're reading with the family. You're playing a board game. You're talking. You're schmoozing. You have some friends over. Whatever the case is, so you should still dress nicely because it is Shabbos. Very interesting halacha. I love this. I love this line in the Mishnah Berura. It's very hard for me to fulfill this, but I love this line. It's a line from the Sefer Chasidim in the end of source number 5. Kasa b'Sefer Chasidim al yikach adam yeler b'Shabbos at sheyosim tchila kar b'cheiko. If you pick up a little baby on Shabbos, make sure you put a burp cloth on, because what's going to happen? The baby's going to get you all messy, right? K'deish shelo yitanef b'gadav. right? The baby's going to spit on you. The baby's going to gonna do whatever on your suit, and you're and that's it. And your clothing is going to be ruined. So it's again, it's a very hard thing, Baruch Hashem, for me to fulfill. But it's you know, it's again, it's a consideration. You know, the idea being, you should try to be careful on Shabbos. You know, you should try to be careful. Whatever you're doing, you want your Shabbos clothing to look nice. You should try to be careful on Shabbos. By the way, just as an aside, I don't want to get into this too much. But if a person does get their clothing dirty on Shabbos, you're not really supposed to clean your clothing. You know, you can blow at it, and you can kind of very gently, you know, if whatever's on the surface, kind of brush it off. But you're not really supposed to scrub your clothing and clean it on Shabbos. That's a whole separate discussion about Malabin, which we'll talk about maybe when we get there. But you know, so if you're a baby or you're you know, somebody spits up on you, you're kind of stuck. You know, change your suit. But listen, they didn't have so many suits in those days. So you have one suit and that's it. If it gets dirty, it's dirty, and you wear it for the rest of Shabbos. But one point also I wanted to make, and you know, sometimes you notice that that over the course of Shabbos, people's dress kind of declines. You know, as Shabbos wanes, you know, mincha time already, people are dressing down a little bit, and it always kind of I always didn't sit well with me, because if you think about it, as the Mishnah Berurah says very clearly, Ein amalbushim lichvod haroim. You know, this has nothing to do with people seeing you. This has nothing to do with Shabbos morning when everybody comes dressed nicely to shul. This is halacha in Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference if you're going to shul, as the Mishnah Berurah himself said. It doesn't make a difference if you're staying home for Shabbos or you're going to shul. If it's Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos mincha, it's all the same. So the idea of dressing differently Shabbos morning and Shabbos mincha, or you know, Friday night and Shabbos morning, you know, according to halacha, it doesn't really make any sense. Maybe socially, it's something that people have come to, but according to halacha, it doesn't really make any sense, because the whole idea is to honor Shabbos. So we honor Shabbos throughout the entire Shabbos. Again, that doesn't mean that you have to stay in your suit. When I come home, I take off my tie. It doesn't mean you have to stay in your suit and tie the whole Shabbos. You can get a little bit more relaxed at home, but still, it should be, you know, it should be nicer than you dress during the week. But you know, but this concept of kind of dressing differently for Shabbos mincha and for Shabbos morning, you know, doesn't really make sense according to halacha. Really, it should be standard the whole time. Yeah.
There, I guess, are times where it's a little contentious in terms of weather. Like if you want to dress nicely, but sometimes if you're stuck, you know, like the air conditioning's not working or something like that. You're,
okay, obviously,
you know,
right.
With,
right. Yes,
you know,
I mean, listen. Obviously, if it's some kind of situation like that where the air conditioning is broken and you take off your tie, you know, it's okay. It's, you know, it's that's fine. It's you know, obviously, you have to contend with whatever you have to contend with. But assuming, you know, assuming standard circumstances, you know, normal circumstances, then you know, if you ask me, according to the halacha, what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah would say about a person's dress over Shabbos. You know, whatever you wear Friday night, you should wear Shabbos morning, you should wear Shabbos afternoon, you should wear the whole Shabbos. That's what, you know, that's what honoring Shabbos is all about. But that's what I would say if you would ask me, my opinion about this. Also, I've noticed also sometimes, and I hope I'm not getting into hot water here, but you know, I've noticed sometimes that people, you know, wear like different things, you know, depending on, you know, like in Israel, for example. In Israel, so very few people wear suits. Depending on the neighborhood, you know, some neighborhoods people do wear suits in Israel, but many neighborhoods in Israel, especially the Dati Leumi Mizrahi communities, very few people wear suits, and that's kind of trickled into America. You know, that I've noticed that you know, especially in the summer, you know, people kind of slack off, you know, and you know, don't wear suits on Shabbos. And to me, also, again, if you're in Israel and that's the way Israelis dress. So fine. So for them, dressing nicely, if you go to an Israeli wedding, very often people are not wearing suits. You know, they're wearing a nice shirt and a pair of khakis. You know, that's what they wear to a wedding. So if that's the nice dress, that's the standard of nice dress in Israel, so then for Shabbos, that's the nice dress for Shabbos also. You wear sandals and you wear your khakis and you wear your white, you know, white button-down shirt untucked. That's, you know, that's dressing nice in Israel. But if, again, if the standard is to wear a suit, if the standard is that nice dress is wearing a suit, then really you should dress a little bit nicer than that for Shabbos. Again, I'm not going to say that it's not kavod Shabbos if a person doesn't wear a suit. I'm not going to go that far. But I think that, in line with American behavior, if you're going to a nice business meeting, you know, you wear a suit, unless your industry is where, you know, that would be inappropriate. But otherwise, you know, attorneys and people, they go into nice things, or you go to a nice event. Certainly anybody going to a wedding, I don't think anybody would go to a wedding in America not dressed in a suit. You know, so Shabbos, you know, we should dress nicely for Shabbos also. I remember recently seeing someone at a chuppah, and I think the guy had a suit, but he had taken off his jacket. And he was sitting at the chuppah without a jacket. And I remember, to me, just, it like, you know, it didn't bother me, but I was just like shocked to see it. You're not used to seeing that, like at a chuppah, everybody wears their jacket. If you take off your jacket, you take it off later at the, you know, for the meal, for the dancing, people take off their jackets. But at a chuppah, to sit there just with your shirt without your jacket on was like a jarring sight to me. And I think that's the, you know, you just, it's, I think it's important to think about when we think about how we dress on Shabbos. It's important to think of like what the standards of nice dress in America are. If the standards of nice dress in America are a suit and tie or whatever the case is, so we should, you know, I'm not coming to say that a person has to wear a tie or has to wear a suit on Shabbos and it's not covered Shabbos with that. I just think it's something, food for thought. I think it's something to think about that although in Israel the standards of dress might be different in terms of what's nice in Israel, I think in America, you know, the standards of nice dress are a little bit different, and that should be taken into consideration when we choose our Shabbos wardrobes. Okay, enough of my soapbox. Okay. Next, me'asos derachecha. Next topic is me'asos derachecha. So here, this is a very interesting halacha, and that is the way that a person walks on Shabbos, or the way that a person moves on Shabbos. And many of us know that we don't really exercise on Shabbos, for example. You know, most frum people don't really go jogging on Shabbos. You know, even if you jog during the week, you go to the gym every day. Shabbos, we don't exercise. And that really comes from this pasuk of Me'asos Derachecha. And the Gemara says, Me'asos Derachecha, Shelo Yehei Hiluchacha Shel Shabbos, Ki Hiluchacha Shel Chol. The Gemara says that your walking on Shabbos should not be like the way that you walk during the week. Okay, and the idea is that, you know, during the week, we're always running. We're always running everywhere. Someone recently at school just tried to catch me. You know, they wanted to talk to me about a shidduch idea for someone. And they said, you know, Rabbi, you're always running everywhere. So, you know, one time when you're not running, come to me. And I was thinking to myself, I don't know when that's going to be. You know, I'm always running somewhere. You know, during the week, we're always running. We're running here, we're running there, we're running to appointments, we're running home, we're running away from home. You know, we're always running. Now, that's you know, don't take it the wrong way, man. There's no women here. But, you know, you're always running. So the idea is that on Shabbos, we're not supposed to be running. You know, figuratively and literally. On Shabbos, we're not supposed to be running. We're supposed to be benachas. We're supposed to be calm. You know, I have the picture in my mind. The yeshiva that I went to was, the yeshiva that I learned in Israel, Rav Ilson's yeshiva, was located in Mea Shearim, which was a fascinating experience, you know, to be there for 3 years and to, you know, a fascinating time in my life. And my picture of a person walking benachas on Shabbos is you picture like the Hasidus Shemen, you know, Friday night, and the way they all walk, you know, it's like a thing, the way that they all walk, they have their hands behind their back. You know, they walk, you know, benachas on Shabbos, you walk benachas, that's the way that you're supposed to walk on Shabbos. Your hands behind your back, you know, taking a nice stroll. You know, that's the idea. That's what the Gemara says, that you're walking on Shabbos should be different than you're walking during the week. And the Shulchan Aruch says you're not really supposed to run on Shabbos. Right? You're not supposed to run on Shabbos. In source number 7, Ein larutz b'Shabbos elaim kin hu l'dvar mitzvah. The only time you're supposed to run for Shabbos is for a mitzvah. So if you're running because, you know, you're a minute late to shul, and you got to run that last minute, that's okay. You know, but otherwise, if it's not for a mitzvah, you know, you're not running to catch the shir, you're not running to catch, you know, to catch davening or whatever the case is. So you walk nicely, you know, you walk benachas, you walk pleasantly. Interestingly, the Rama even talks about how, you know, how wide your footsteps should be. And he writes, you shouldn't even take such, you know, such wide footsteps on Shabbos. You know, you should walk. You know, the idea behind all of this is you should walk benachas, walk slowly, walk calmly. You know, you shouldn't be running and frazzled on Shabbos. Should be in a, you know, you should go in, you know, in a nice way. The obvious exception to this is kids, right? You have kids. Kids like to run. You know, one of my sons, and I don't see him ever walking. He's always running, you know, somewhere or other, running down the hall, running there, running there. You know, kids like to run. So writes the Shulchan Aruch, right in that source number 7 in the second line there, Bachurim hamisangim mikfitzasab umirutzasab. You know, kids who love to run and jump, that's what they do for a living. They run and jump. That's what kids do. So if they run and jump, mutter, then they're allowed. Why? What's the idea behind that? Because that's their own Shabbos. That's their enjoyment of Shabbos. For them, you know, if you would tell them you can't run on Shabbos, that would be tsar. You know, they would have a terrible Shabbos. You know, tell a kid he can't jump, he can't run on Shabbos. That's not a Shabbos for a kid. So since that's their enjoyment, so they're allowed to do that because that's the whole idea. V'chein liroz.
Someone pre-bar mitzvah, right?
What?
Someone
Well, what?
Obviously, they're talking about kids.
Yeah. I imagine. Right. The chen liros kol davar shemisan gimbo. Right. So too, let's say you know you want to you know anything that you want to see that you enjoy seeing, you know, you're allowed to run to that, even an adult. Here, that's the chiddush of that second part of the Shulchan Aruch, right? V'chein motu l'tayel, and even an adult, if you want to, if you're running somewhere, just like a kid is allowed to run because that's how they get enjoyment over Shabbos. So if I'm running because I'm going because I want to enjoy something, you know, I'm going to see my friend, and I love seeing this friend on Shabbos. You know, I love going to their house on Shabbos, and I go and we schmooze and we have a nice time. You know, you're allowed to run there. Because again, you're running to something that you enjoy on Shabbos. So that's okay, because it's for the sake of Shabbos. You're not running because I got to take care of something. You know, I'm running here, I'm running there. No, you're running because you want to enjoy something on Shabbos. So that's okay. That's considered okay. And finally, the Shulchan Aruch says also that if you have no choice, you're allowed to run, right? So for example, if there's a dog who's chasing you, right? You don't have to put your hands behind your back and walk benachas, right? You can take off down the street. You're allowed to do that, right? If it's impossible, you have no choice, so you're allowed to run. Okay? If you're late to something and you have no choice and you know your wife's gonna kill you, if you're late and you stayed a little too long, you had one too many l'chaims in the kiddush already, and you stayed an extra 5 minutes, and now you know she's gonna be mad. So now you're running because you want to save face to your wife. So that's okay. That's true. Right? Haya Holech writes the Shulchan Aruch. His case is a little different. I painted a little bit of a different portrait. But he writes, Haya Holech v'yigi la'amas hamayim. Right? Let's say you're walking and you come to a little brook, you know, a little creek. And the only way for me to get over the creek is to jump. And we said you're not supposed to jump on Shabbat, right? You're not supposed to run or jump. You know, all these things are aser. So then he says, you're allowed to jump over it. And in fact, it's even better to jump over it than to walk all the way around it. Because then you're just walking. That's you're schlepping. You know, you're not supposed to schlep on Shabbos. So to schlep all the way around, it's better, it says the Shulchan Aruch. Better to jump over it if you have to. You have no choice. You know, you have a creek here, so just jump over it. It's okay. So here's where we get to exercise. And this is really where the Isser to exercise comes from on Shabbos, where the Isser to, you know, to jog or to exercise comes from on Shabbos. And right to the Mishnah Berurah in source number 8, although you're allowed to take a walk, you know, I'm allowed to enjoy myself. I'm allowed to take a walk on Shabbos. Of course, I'm allowed to do that. Afilim kavanosa liyisam liyischamim mishum refua mikomokum shari. He says, even if my intention, let's say I'm taking a walk and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I like walking, and it happens to be that it's also going to be good for me. You know, I'm going to get some exercise as I walk. You know, so I'll walk. I'll walk. I'll get some exercise. I'll enjoy myself. So that's fine. Right, you're allowed to do that. Even if your intention is that I'm going to exercise as I'm walking, that's okay. Why? Because it's not clear when I'm walking that I'm doing it for the purposes of exercise. You could say a person's just taking a walk, right? It's not clear from what I'm doing that I'm doing it for exercise. But if I'm doing it in a way where it's evident that what I'm doing is for exercise purposes, so let's say I'm actually jogging, right? Everyone knows if you see somebody running in the street, you know that they're not just enjoying themselves, right? Right? They're doing it because they want to exercise. That's clear. So if you're doing something where it's evident and it's clear that you're doing it for exercise, that's awesome. But if I'm walking and, you know, and even though my intention as I'm walking is that I'm going to get exercise as well, that's okay. Because then it's not evident from what I'm doing that I'm doing it for the purposes of exercise. As I just said, aval asur larutz kedei sheyischamim lerefua kevin de mukhamilsa. He says there's also a separate problem that just like, and this is again is a little bit of a different topic, but a person is not supposed to take medicine on Shabbos, and again, I don't want to get too off track with this, but a person is not supposed to take medicine on Shabbos unless they're really sick. Right? If you just have a minor headache, you have something minor, and you could just fight through it, it's better to do that. If you're really sick and you have to, you know, you really, it's affecting your whole body, you got to lie down. By the way, this is for adults, not children. Children have different set of parameters. But when it comes to adults, if it's, you know, if it's something that really knocks you out, you know, you really have the flu or something like that, something really knocks you out, and then you can take something. But if it's just something minor, it's just, you know, I have a minor headache, a minor cold, you know, I could live without medicine. So it's better to you really can't take medicine on Shabbos. The reason behind that is because the way the medicine used to be prepared is that they used to grind up different herbs to prepare the medicine, and grinding is usur on Shabbos. It's tochein. You're not allowed to grind herbs on Shabbos because of the malach of tochein. So as a gzeira, you know, that a person might come to grind herbs. So they said you're not allowed to do anything medicinal on Shabbos. And medicinal, by the way, includes not only actual medicine, but even something like exercising for medicinal purposes, exercising for health purposes is included in that general rubric. Even something like a nose spray or something like that, which is not—it's not a pill. It's not—you know—it's not something that you would you would think about having a concern that you might come to grind something. Is still included in that general decree. Again, if you're miserable, you're allowed to take it. If you're like you're so miserable you have to lie down, it's affecting your whole body, then you're allowed to take it. But if it's just something minor, you can do without it, so you do without it. So here, when it comes to exercise, you could certainly do without exercising for a day, right? I think we can all attest to that, that you can do without exercising for a day. So you can't exercise on Shabbos. Some people are machmir, he says, that if your intention with the walk is that I want to exercise, that's really why I'm going on a walk, then you shouldn't. But again, it's a chumrah. He says, v'yesh machmirin. I think most of us, the general psak that the Mishnah Berurah gives is that as long as it's not clear and evident from what I'm doing, that I'm doing it for the purposes of exercising, I'm doing it to take a walk. Even though in the back of my head I'm thinking, it's good, I'm going to get more steps on my, my Fitbit. And even though I'm not wearing my Fitbit on Shabbos, but, theoretically, my theoretical Fitbit, I'm getting more steps and I'm burning more calories. Even if you're thinking that, it's still okay. It's still considered a mutter on Shabbos. Okay, the third category here is what we call mimtzo cheftzecha, and that's based on a pasuk in Erevin. This is a fascinating Gemara, and this is this really starts to touch on business. Of course you can't do business on Shabbos. I can't go to my even if my business doesn't include any malachas per se. Right? You can't do business on Shabbos. You can't go to your place of business. You can't be involved in business on Shabbos at all. But what about, can I go to my warehouse and just take a look around, and see what I need to order? So I'm not doing anything. I'm not even touching anything, right? I'm not, no issues of mukta. All I'm doing is I'm opening up the door. I'm walking in. I'm taking a look around. I see I'm a little low on this. I'm making a mental note that I'm going to order that after Shabbos. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? No, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing any malacha. Right? I'm not even talking to anyone. I'm going myself. Just everything's by memory. Am I allowed to do that on Shabbos? I'm not violating anything, right? So comes the Gemara and says, you're not allowed to do that. That's a violation of this idea, mimtzo cheftzecha, that you can't be involved in your own business, in your own doings on Shabbos, right? This is the Gemara in Erevin, in source number 9. Lo yahalech adam lesof sadehu, leida mahi tzricha. A person should not walk to the edge of his field on Shabbos to see what needs to be done. I need to plow here a little bit. I need to weed this section. You can't walk to the edge of your field. I'm not doing anything, right? There's no Eruv issue. And I'm just, my field's right here. I'm just taking a little walk and taking a look around. You can't do that, says the Gemara, right? Kayotze, most similarly, lo yetayel adam al pesach medina kedei sheikanes lamerchatz miyad. Right? Let's say that I'm, I bought tickets to the game on Motzei Shabbos. So I want to get good seats or whatever. Let's say it's not assigned seats or whatever. I went to a concert, whatever the case is. So you know what? I'm not going to violate any malacha. I'm just going to walk there. I'm going to walk there on Shabbos. And that way, right after Shabbos, boom, I'll be standing right outside the door. I'll get online even, right? I'll get online before Shabbos is over. Not violating any malacha. I'm still dressed in my suit, like Rabbi Polakoff said. I got to wear a suit and tie on Shabbos. So I'm dressed in my suit and tie. I'll stand online for the concert. And right after Shabbos, the door's open. I'm going to go right in. Can you do that? So the Gemara says you can't do that, right? You can't walk somewhere on Shabbos, even if you're not violating anything, just to prepare yourself for after Shabbos, so to speak. Okay. Now, writes the Mishnah Berurah, similar to what we just learned in Me'asos Derachecha, when it came to exercising on Shabbos, the only prohibition here is when it's clear and evident from what I'm doing that I'm doing it in order to get, do something after Shabbos. So if I walk to the edge of my field and I start looking around, why are you looking around at your field on Shabbos? It's obvious that you're doing that to ascertain what needs to be done in your field on Shabbos. If I walk into my warehouse and I take a look around on Shabbos, I'm not doing that for enjoyment. I'm not going for a spatzir to my warehouse on Shabbos. I'm going to my warehouse on Shabbos to check what needs to be ordered and what needs to be looking at the inventory and trying to find out what needs to be done. If I'm walking and I'm standing online for the concert, right, on Shabbos, so it's clear, even though I'm not violating any malacha, but it's clear from what I'm doing that I'm preparing myself for something that needs to be done on Motzai Shabbos. So that's when it's prohibited. However, let's say there's something where it's not so clear from what I'm doing. It's not evident from what I'm doing that I'm preparing to do something on Motzai Shabbos. So then that would be okay, writes the Mishnah Berurah. And that's the Mishnah Berurah in source number 10. V'davka hecha demin karamilsa. It's only when it's clear and evident that you're preparing for something after Shabbos. I'm standing next to my field. Work needs to be done in my field. So it's clear from my field that something needs to be done. It's very clear that I'm standing next to my field to find out what needs to be done. So too, the case in the Gemara is that the merchatz, the bathhouse, was right outside the city. So I would walk to the edge of the city, and then right after Shabbos, go right into the Schwitz, go right into the bathhouse, right, walk right to the end. So there, everybody knows why you're standing by the border of the city. Obviously, it's to go into the merchatz, which is right outside the city limits. There Sham Chutz LeMedina, Samach LePesach HaMedina, Nikar SheLetzorach HaMerchatz Machshich. It's very clear that I'm walking over there and standing there in order to go right to the merchatz. Avalim lo min kar milsa. However, if it's not clear from what I'm doing that I'm preparing for something for Motzai Shabbos, hu bichlal hirhur ba'asak of the mutter, then that's mutter. I'm allowed to think, right? There's no prohibition that I'm not allowed to think about my business on Shabbos. Might not be the best thing to do if you can control yourself, right? But there's no iser that you're there's no iser to think about business on Shabbos. There's no iser to think about what I'm doing on Motzai Shabbos or the trip that I'm taking this week or whatever the case is. There's no iser to think that. I'm allowed to think it. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if it's not clear from my actions that I'm preparing for something prohibited, so then there's no problem. So even in the cases that we gave, a person theoretically could do things in a way where he kind of masks what he's doing. And then it would be okay. So for example, let's say your warehouse is on a main street, okay? And I'm just walking down the main street. And it happens to me as I'm walking, I take a look into my window, and I check and see how much inventory I have in a certain thing, you know, whether I need to order or not. I make a quick mental note as I'm walking by. Someone seeing me will not necessarily realize what I'm doing. So then that's okay. Right? If a person, let's say, has to catch a bus or has to catch a train, so you can't walk, let's say you have to catch a Long Island Railroad right after Shabbos. So you can't walk and stand on the platform, right? That's obviously clear what I'm doing. I'm standing on the platform waiting for the train. But let's say you just take a walk around that neighborhood, right? And I'm just walking the streets around that neighborhood. And then it happens to me right after Shabbos, I conveniently make my route so that I'm walking right past the train station. As Shabbos ends, I walk right up the platform and hop onto the train. That's okay. As long as it's not clear from what I'm doing, you know, people looking around, it's not clear that I'm violating anything, then it's okay. Yeah.
So in the first thing we were talking about, how you dress, you're not dressing for the other people, you're dressing for
right,
the
other right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because here, right, the distinction is that there, the way that I'm dressing itself honors the Shabbos. Here, the problem is not what I'm thinking. That's exactly what the point of the Mishnah Berurah. It's a good point. The Mishnah Berurah says very clearly, there's no iser to think about things on Shabbos. I can think about whatever I want on Shabbos. I could sit down and the whole Shabbos, I could think about my business. Right? Again, I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it's the most spiritual way to spend your Shabbos. But you're not violating anything. No deraisa, no derabbanan, no derei kabbalah. You're not violating anything, right? I'm not talking about it. We'll get to that in a second. I'm not talking, right? I'm just sitting and thinking. So since here, everything's in your head. It's all in my head. What I'm doing for Shabbos. Well, I'm sorry. What I'm doing for after Shabbos. How much inventory I have to order, or the trip that I'm taking, or the concert that I'm going to. Everything is in my head. So there's nothing usher about what's in my head. The only thing that's usher is going to be how that thought process manifests itself in my actions. So you're right. There is a distinction in that case. Yeah.
Could you window shop?
Good question. So you can window shop. Post some say you can window shop. Why? Because window shopping is a favorite pastime of human beings, especially women. Right? But window shopping is you know, people window shop.
You can't say it.
You can't talk about it. You can't, you know, that we'll get to in a minute, right? But you're allowed to walk in. You're allowed to look in the windows because people, you know, plenty of people like to look in the windows just to see. It's not clear when you walk down Fifth Avenue and you're looking in the windows of all the stores. No one on Fifth Avenue is thinking that everybody who's looking in all the windows is going to buy all the things that they see, right? Window shopping. That's the whole expression. Window shopping. I'm not really shopping. I'm just looking in the windows. So it's okay. So since it's not evident, it's not clear from what I'm doing that I'm preparing to violate anything. I just like to look at the designs. I like to look at the mannequins. I like to look at the layouts and the merchandise. So that's okay. So you're allowed to do that. Again, if you I wouldn't walk in, you can't walk into the store. That's already taking it too far. Then it's clear that you're preparing for something. But even if you don't buy anything, I'm just walking in, I walk in behind the other guy, so I'm not even, opening that electronic door. I just zip in right behind him. Yeah.
So, is this a manifestation of spoiling your Shabbos? Is it something where you're making like a Chilul Hashem, where other people will say, look how Shabbos is being mistreated by that person?
Yeah, I don't think it's a Chilul Hashem issue. I think it's more of a, this is not the way that you're supposed to be spending Shabbos. That if your thought process, it's one thing to think about business-related matters on Shabbos. But once those thoughts begin to translate themselves into your actions, and it's evident and clear that that's what's going on, that's already taking it too far.
So that's you're spoiling Shabbos
for you. I believe it's for yourself. Yeah, I don't think it's for other people. Right.
It wouldn't make sense if it was for the other people.
Right.
It's contradicts again the idea of clothing. I mean, it's supposed to be your.
Right. Exactly. Right. It's not just for other people. It's how your thought process is manifesting itself in your actions. Yeah. Okay. And then the final issue is Vidaber Davar, which is speech, which Joe alluded to a little bit, and that was the title that we started with, speaking about things on Shabbos, and that's really what the Gemara says, the final thing, Vidaber Davar, in source number 12, Shelo Yehei Diburcha Shel Shabbos Ki Diburcha Shel Chol, that your speech on Shabbos should be different than your speech during the week. And the Shulchan Aruch understands that to mean that you should not be talking on Shabbos about things that you're doing after Shabbos, but specifically about things that are prohibited to do on Shabbos. So for example, writes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 13, V'daber davar, quoting the Pasuk, and then he quotes the Gemara, Shelo yehei diburcha shel Shabbos ki diburcha shel chol, Hilkach, therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, Asur lomar, a person may not say the following, Davar ploni es elamachar, Oschora plonis ekn elamachar. You can't say to someone, I'm going to do such and such tomorrow. I'm going to the game on Sunday, or I'm going to buy a certain. I'm going to buy this merchandise on Sunday or Monday. Right? You can't talk on Shabbos about things that you're doing after Shabbos. Okay. Now let's just pause here. We'll come back to the rest of the Shulchan Aruch in a minute. So it's very clear from the poskim. The Mishnah Berurah explains this that it's very clear that this only is usur if I'm discussing something that I'm not allowed to be doing on Shabbos. I mean, I'm certainly allowed to say, I'm certainly allowed to say on Shabbos, let's say I have kids who live a couple blocks away. I can say to someone, I'm going to see my kids tomorrow, right? Because that's not usur. There's nothing usur involved. I can walk to my kids' house, right? If my kids live in California and the only way for me to get there is to take a plane, so then I can't say I'm going to see my kids tomorrow because then it's obvious that I'm going to fly to them. But if I'm saying something that doesn't involve any usur, right, I'm saying, yeah, I'm going to a bar mitzvah in the Sephardic temple. I'm going to a bar mitzvah on Sunday. So, okay, obviously I'm going to drive there because it's Sunday. But, I could walk there if I want to. It doesn't necessitate any violation of malacha. So then that kind of a thing you're allowed to talk about. You're only not allowed to talk about something that's usher to do on Shabbos. That's why you can't talk about business things on Shabbos. Because you can't talk about, as the Shulchan Aruch himself said, you can't say what merchandise you're going to purchase or what inventory you're going to do or what business deal you're going to close on or what, how many tax returns you're going to do the next day. Those kind of things are prohibited because since I can't do them on Shabbos, the Daber Davar prohibits me from talking about them on Shabbos even if I'm not doing them until after Shabbos.
So then perhaps you have to reevaluate the announcements we make in Shul on Shabbos.
Okay, good point.
You might say Shabbos go to Joe Rosenbaum because he has the tickets that are $15 a piece to the Mets game tomorrow. There's only 5 tickets left.
Okay, yeah. So it's a good point. It's a good point. Listen, the rabbi doesn't make the announcements. The president does, though. No, I'm good. But you're right. It all depends. Now, but one second. Oh, now it's getting personal. Hold on. But one important thing to keep in mind is that I don't remember if I bum, 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 bum. Oh, okay. So if you look at source number 14, the question is, what about a dvar mitzvah? What about something that's a mitzvah but it involves a malacha? So let's say like writing a sefer Torah, or let's say tzedakah matters. Okay, or whatever, some other mitzvah function. Let's say you know, where they're having a hatzolah, having a fundraiser, right? So it's, you know, they're having a fundraiser and they have all sorts of malachas going on there, but it's but they're raising funds for hatzolah, which is certainly a mitzvah, right? So what about something like that where it's a mitzvah but it involves malacha? So comes the Mishnah Berurah in source number 14 and writes, Yesh kasvu, there are those that write, Te'afilu dvar mitzvah, ki go kisiva sefer Torah v'chiyai gavna, asur lomar, asur lamachar. Even a dvar mitzvah, you can't talk about the next thing, you can't talk about a dvar mitzvah, right, if it involves a malacha. But he says, Ava be'el yarab, v'chin b'mayim b'morachai, ubir ke Yosef, many poskim disagree, cholkim aleihem, the sovereign, the kol dvar mitzvah shari, any dvar mitzvah is allowed, any dvar mitzvah is permitted. He says, still, if it's not necessary, then you should try to avoid it. But, so that's why, by the way, that's why, first of all, in shul, people, you know, shuls do have appeals, right? Shuls do have appeals on Shabbos and on Yontif and things like that. And they auction off aliyos and things like that. How is that mutter? It's mutter because it's a dvar mitzvah. Most poskim hold that for a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to talk about it, even if it involves money and malacha and things like that. But if it's for a dvar mitzvah, you're allowed to mention it. So anything that's mitzvah related in the announcements, even if it involves a malacha, if it's mitzvah related, then it's certainly okay. Decorating the sukkah, you know, anything like that is certainly okay. If you get to the Islanders game and things like that, where it's not really a mitzvah, you know, to go to the Islanders game with the youth department is, you know, it's a nice thing.
It's a mitzvah because the money you buy helps the shul.
Okay, so in that case, if the shul's making money off of it, there you go. If the shul's making money off of it, so then it's a dvar mitzvah, and then that would be okay, yeah.
Let's say over Shabbos Uda,
yeah.
I can't say to my wife, you know, how about tonight we go to the movies?
You shouldn't say it.
You can, could you say, well, theoretically, I guess we could go to a movie tonight.
No, even that you shouldn't say. That's because that's not theoretical. You know, that's what they, you know, they have that joke of, you know, there's a Yiddish Shabbos phrase, Nishtaf Shabbos Garet. So, you know, the guy says to the other guy, you know, I heard you selling your car, Nishtaf Shabbos Garet. So the guy says, how much, Nishtaf Shabbos Garet? You know, and then, you know, it comes back, oh, I sold it already, Nishtaf Shabbos Garet. You know, so you can't just, get around it like that. But, but you're right, it's better not to talk about it. You could say, you know, let's go out tonight. You know, and without getting into the details, I mean, you could take a walk. You know, take a walk with your wife, you know, to Central Avenue and just walk around, you know. So you don't have to talk about all the particulars, you know, or you could say.
You can't even plan it. Let's say you
shouldn't plan it on Shabbos.
See the schedule.
Shouldn't do it on Shabbos. Shouldn't do it on Shabbos. Yeah, you shouldn't do it. You could say, listen, you know, we'll talk, we'll plan it, let's go out tonight. You could say, let's go out tonight, and you could say, we'll plan it, you know, after Shabbos. Sure. You know, we'll plan the details after Shabbos, or plan before Shabbos, you know. But, yeah. It's very interesting, by the way. We're running out of time here, but it's fascinating. Just I'll finish off. I'll talk about it outside a little bit. The Ramah says just for the last 2 minutes here. The Ramah says here that even things that are the Shulchan Aruch himself says even Dvarim B'Teilim, a person who's shooting the breeze, so to speak, just shooting the breeze. He says, even that you should try to curtail on Shabbos, just shooting the breeze. You know, the Ramah says, unless, you know, you're a person that you love to schmooze. You know, some people love to schmooze. So if you're a person who loves to schmooze, you know, you really get hanah, you get enjoyment from shooting the breeze with people. So then, okay, maybe it's your own Shabbos. So then you can do it. But if a person doesn't love to schmooze, it's not, you shouldn't necessarily overdo it in terms of the schmoozing. And the Mishnah Berurah then concludes. He says, by the way, you know, it's really anything like that. You know, things that are kind of rishus, don't overdo it on Shabbos. So even whether it's eating, whether it's sleeping, some people, he says, Mishnah Berurah says, you know, they sleep the whole Shabbos away. So it might be a nice thing to take a nap on Shabbos. It's enjoyable. That doesn't mean you have to have an 8-hour nap on Shabbos. A summer Shabbos afternoon from 12 to 8. You know, there's no mitzvah to sleep the whole Shabbos. You know, you should try to have some sort of a ruchnius on Shabbos also. It's interesting, he quotes also that some had the practice only to talk in Lashon HaKodesh on Shabbos. They would only speak, you know, speak Hebrew or speak Lashon HaKodesh on Shabbos. I actually know someone who tried this. I don't know if they did it, but they tried it. And the reason is to try to curtail, because if you're speaking Lashon HaKodesh on Shabbos, you'll naturally curtail, you know, your other types of speech. So some had the practice of doing that on Shabbos. I'm not, I'm not going to go so far to switch my drusha right now to Hebrew only. I think there would probably be a mutiny. But certainly interesting point or perspective to think about, that on Shabbos, as much as it might be mutter to talk about things and shoot the breeze and enjoy ourselves, but we have to keep in mind that spirituality and ruchnius and learning and things like that should really be the main goal on Shabbos. We'll stop here for tonight. Thank you for coming.